This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Tonight, the story of a rape survivor who is determined to get justice. She says the criminal justice system let her down. Her story begins 5 years ago when she says a former horse trainer slipped a date rape drug into her drink at Golden Gate Fields. He then drove her to a parking lot where he raped her. She is a former law enforcement officer, and suddenly she found herself on the other side of a brutal attack.
It was freezing, and I was half clothed. I was bruised. I was, like, seriously assaulted.
She is a former East Bay law enforcement deputy and relied on her police training to preserve evidence.
I had DNA, I had video, I had good, solid case.
But she says it was an uphill battle from there.
The detective that was assigned to my case never reached out to me, never having phone calls returned or my case falling apart before my eyes, I knew it was an uphill battle. So my voice was never heard.
So she hired an attorney to get help.
Help me. Help me be heard.
I remember thinking that victims of sexual assault and rape are many times not heard and not vindicated in the way that they should be, and the criminal justice system can let them down.
Horse trainer Ari Herbertson was eventually arrested at the racetrack. He pleaded no contest to a charge of assault with a deadly weapon and sentenced to 1 year in jail. But charges of sexual battery, sexual penetration, and assault with intent to commit a sex crime were dropped in a plea deal. The ex-horse trainer is out free now and living out of state.
I wish all four charges would have been able to stick.
That is why this Jane Doe wasn't about to let her story end there. This year, marking 5 years later after the assault, she got her day in court in a civil trial where a judge heard her story and then delivered the words.
Defendant Herbertson intentionally raped plaintiff. It's just like hearing them use that word.
She says it was finally validation.
In our civil case, it was the first time that a judge said to my client, I heard you, you were raped, this man raped you. And that's a sense of justice that did not come out of the criminal process.
The judge ordered him to pay $9 million total.
What kept you going and going and going and now speaking?
I don't want this to happen to somebody else.
Only one in three survivors of sexual violence ever come forward, and oftentimes they wait years to do that.
Dr. Caroline Heldman is a survivor advocate and says victims bear the burden for years.
No amount of money can make up for what is lost with sexual violence. We know that 89% of people who experience rape have severe symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Only 1% of rapists ever spend a day inside a jail cell. It is very difficult to get criminal charges. Rape is the only crime where we put the victim on trial.
He took a lot from me and put my life in a different trajectory. And for the first time in a long time, I feel good.
It's a testament to, A, how brutal this attack was. It's also a testament to the courage of my client. Whether we collect the money or not, to me, is sort of beside the point.
You felt like everything just got lifted off your shoulders. That right there, that's a victory.
You were heard.
Yeah, in a big way.
Out of every 1,000 sex assaults in the country, only 25 perpetrators will face any kind of prison time. And that's partly because victims don't report the crime. So the woman I talked to hopes her fight for justice will encourage other victims, survivors, that is, of sexual assault to come forward. All right, let's switch gears. Let's go to our weather. We had a nice break, but now another round of rain has arrived. So here is a look at our radar There you go. Let's go now to meteorologist Darren Peck, who's going to tell us what it all means. Hey there.
We're going to use that view as an example, the radar behind you just there, Juliet. One other way to look at it. From the camera on top of the Salesforce Tower, looking off across the bay, and all those showers that were showing up on the radar in the video wall behind you are going to show up here. Starting at about 4 o'clock, watch what happens. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, there wasn't a lot. And then by like 4 o'clock, there's just like this herd, this crop of showers that just keeps marching across the bay. I'm going to go back to First Alert Doppler. You'll see what they look like on there now. See how they just kind of appear out here? Look at that. It wasn't just for the city. The entire bay is experiencing this. But there's a catch. I don't see a whole lot of places that have really recorded much measurable rain out of any of this. Even though it's been enough, things have gotten a bit damp. It's not going to be for about another hour or two before the heavier rain shows up. So we're going to go to Futurecast now, which does a better job of showing you the visualization of where the rain's actually going to be able to reach the ground. So we call this the base layer view on the radar display. And now watch what happens. You see these organized lines that come across as we go through the evening. That's not till like 9 o'clock tonight. So yeah, it's been raining for a few hours now. But over the next 3 to 4 hours, you're going to see the intensity pick up just a little bit. And then from 9 o'clock through about like midnight, that line will march its way down the peninsula, get down to the Santa Clara Valley. And then just about 1 a.m., 2 a.m., that initial line will clear the South Bay. There's not a lot to that. Probably get about a quarter of an inch of rain total. And yes, there are still a few more showers possible tomorrow, particularly through the first half of the day. Just kind of the leftover stragglers. But watch what happens. They kind of fizzle out as we get towards sunset tomorrow. This is just the first system. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. There's another one coming on Friday that's better put together. It's going to have more rain with it. I'll show you that in a few minutes, Julia.
It's got its act together. All right. Darren, thank you. Well, a new era is now beginning in Oakland. Today, the new chief of police introduced himself to the community, Floyd Mitchell. He has over 3 decades of experience in law enforcement. He comes from Lubbock, Texas, where he was also chief for 4 years. Our Katie Nielsen has a look at Mitchell's top priorities for a city that has been struggling with crime.
Incoming Chief Floyd Mitchell said he's really going to be focused on better communication, not just within the community, but also within the department. Community leaders hope he will bring about some necessary change. Bob Harris has been an Oakland resident since 1960. He's also an executive member of the Oakland chapter of the NAACP, an organization that has been closely watching the selection process of the new chief.
The mayor has finally appointed someone. We've been waiting for this for well over a year.
Oaklanders, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is my honor to introduce to you our new top police officer, Chief Floyd Mitchell.
The incoming chief got a standing ovation from the crowd in the packed council chambers when Mayor Sheng Tao introduced him. The department has been without a permanent chief since Mayor Tao fired former chief LaRon Armstrong in February of last year. During the press conference, the mayor said she's confident incoming Chief Mitchell will provide results.
He's a smart crime fighter who delivers results. And it is what I demand. As your mayor, I demand results.
Before coming to Oakland, Mitchell was the police chief in Lubbock, Texas for 4 years and chief in Temple, Texas before that. He has more than 30 years of experience in law enforcement, starting in Kansas City, where he and his 5 brothers and sisters were raised by a single mother.
My upbringing taught me the importance of community, commitment, and working together for the greater good. And these are some of the same traits that I bring with me in my role as police chief and community leader.
Mitchell says his priority in the first 100 days on the job will be to get to know those within the department and the community. But he says the way the police department will be turned around is through collaboration and communication.
My approach is high visibility, responsible, proactive policing that is procedurally just, data-driven, and grounded in evidence-based strategies that address our most difficult issues.
Harris says the local NAACP is looking forward to working with the new chief, but simply hiring someone isn't enough.
It is the first step in that process, but the next step has to be accountability from the city council, from the mayor, and everybody else.
As of right now, the new chief does not have an exact start date, but he is expected to be sworn in sometime around the end of April or beginning of May.
Katie, thank you. Well, we have seen the videos. We've heard the frustrations. One of Oakland's biggest crime problems are those brazen store break-ins. Many Oakland business owners were in the audience today to hear the new chief address his community, including Eric, whose Mexican restaurant in the Fruitvale District was hit 3 times in the past year alone.
Us as business owners, we're really interested in to find out what's the how he's going to start working with us, with the community.
So Eric says he didn't hear any solutions from Chief Mitchell today, but he and other business owners would like to sit down with him to find out how he plans to protect businesses.